I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6, starting in verse 15 and going to the end of the chapter. Last week, we resumed our study of Paul's letter to the Roman Christians about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel about which Paul was unashamed. Paul has laid out the gospel, the bad news of God's oncoming wrath against our unrighteousness, and then the good news about the gracious righteousness that has come to us through Jesus Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection. Justification by what? Faith alone in Christ alone, as we sang about this morning. And Paul has now begun to defend the gospel of grace against objections. The questions that pop up when you explain how good the good news is. Last week's question was, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? What was the answer to that? No way, right? Absolutely not. God forbid, no way on earth. Why? Because we died. Remember that? Because of our union with Christ, you and I have died. And that means that we are freed from the penalty and the power of sin. And we have been made alive spiritually, and one day we'll be raised from the dead physically like Christ was. And because of that, we've been freed from sin. Remember we talked about that last week? Well, in these few verses, Paul takes it one step further. Here is the question he's going to ask. Look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? And the answer to that question is the same as the last question. Absolutely not. God forbid. No way on earth. Unthinkable. You gotta be kidding me. Or in Greek, me gonoita. And the reason he gives for that answer is all about slavery. I asked Marilyn to put on the back of your bulletin, slaves of what? That's the question that Paul reminds us to ask ourselves every time we are tempted to give the wrong answer to this question, shall we sin? Well, it depends on whose slave we are. Let's pray together and then I'll show you what I mean. Father, we have prayed and sung and listened and just enjoyed the video of seeing those cars come onto our campus back in August. We've had a good morning so far. Help us, Lord, to have a great morning now because we have encountered you in the pages of your word. You gave us this sure word. Help us, Lord, to direct our attention to it now, to focus not on whatever we were focusing on before we came or whatever we'll need to focus on when we leave, but right now to give our full attention to Romans 6, 15 through 23. And to you speaking through that to our hearts to change how we live in the here and now. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the gift of your spirit. May your spirit work in me to present it faithfully and work in all of us to receive it in a way that transforms us into the image of Christ. We pray in His name and in Christ alone. Amen. Back in verse 14, Paul gave his readers a major promise. We just glanced at it last week, but it's a major promise. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Now that under law thing is going to be the subject of the next chapter. Paul is going to teach that not only are we freed from sin, but we are freed from the Mosaic law, free from its power and condemnation. So we're going to learn more about that next week. Come back if you're interested in more about not under law. But because of that freedom from the law and because of the power of grace, Paul confidently promises that sin shall not be our master. But some people only hear the free from law part and say, ooh, that sounds good. If I don't have the law anymore, maybe I can do more sinning. Right? Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. I don't think so, Tim. right? As they say in New York City, forget about it. Do you see the drift of his question? If we are not under law, can we do some more sinning? I think that a lot of people answer that question in the wrong way. Have you ever heard anyone justify sin by saying, hey, we're not under law anymore? I have. Have you heard anybody justify sin by saying, well, hey, we're under grace now? Yeah, I have heard that too. But that's the exact opposite answer from what Paul gives. Here's the question. Should we sin? Shall we sin? No matter the reason that it's asked, that's the bottom line question in verse 15. How do you answer that in your life? Shall I sin? Shall I gossip about that person who offended me? Shall I steal office supplies from my employer? Shall I cuss out my coworker that drives me crazy? Shall I access internet pornography? Shall I get drunk on the weekend? Shall I watch that movie I know that I shouldn't watch? Shall I jealously drool over my neighbor's vehicle? Shall I yell at my kids in anger? Shall I give myself to anxious worry about the future? Shall I take the Lord's name in vain? Should I sin? Shall I sin? How do we answer that question? Paul says to answer it with another question. Whose slave am I? Whose slave am I? Verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Paul believes that they know this already. If you constantly give yourself to someone as a slave, then guess what? You are their slave. And there's only two options in the universe, he says. Slaves of sin, which leads to death, or obedience to God, which leads to righteousness, justness. There's our word dikaiosune. And here's his point, number one. Shall we sin? No. We've been set free from sin's mastery. No, we have been set free from sin's mastery. Look at verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin. Stop right there. Paul gives thanks to God that the Roman Christians have experienced freedom from their sins. He says they used to be slaves to sin. You bet. But then they embraced the gospel. Verse 17, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. That's the gospel. You heard the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection and you believed it. Wholeheartedly, you trusted yourself into it fully. And it changed your fundamental relationship with sin. You've been set free from sin. We're going to sing about it in just a few minutes. My chains are gone. I've been set free. We'll sing it better than that. Sorry. My God, my Savior, has rescued me. Right? Should we sin? No. We've been set free. We aren't freed to sin. We're free from sin. Sin's mastery. Sin is no longer our Lord. Why would we want to keep obeying our old Lord? Well, what's the answer to that? Why would we want to keep obeying our old Lord? Well, we're used to it, right? That's been our habit until we met Christ. Sin said, hey, go here. So we went there and said, hey, hey, come here. And so we came there. It's what we're used to. And everyone else is doing it, right? It's hard to swim upstream. If sin is just about everybody else's master around us, then, well, okay, I'll just go along with the crowd. And we can still hear that voice of sin saying, follow me. Sin doesn't believe it's not in charge anymore. I'm your master. Follow me, sin says. And there's still a part of us that wants whatever sin promises So we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. But that's not the deepest truth about who we are. The deepest truth about who we are, if we're in Christ, is that we are free from sin's mastery. We have been set free from sin. Why would we ever want to go back? Should we sin? Number two, no. We have a new master now. We have a new master now. Catch the end of verse 18. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. There's that word, dikaiosune. It's our key word for the whole book of Romans. Righteousness. We have a new master now, and his name is Mr. Right. Mr. Righteous. You know, that's interesting. Most of us get the first part of that verse to some degree, but we don't get the second part. We sing, my chains are gone, I've been set free. But we don't say, and now I've got some new chains. Chains to righteousness. See, it's not that we no longer have any master, but that we have a new master. Our ownership has been transferred. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Meet the new master. Check your tags, right? What's your tag say? Anybody ever have dog tags? You were in the military, had dog tags. What'd it say? Who'd you belong to? Check your uniform. What name is on your uniform? Check your identification papers. To whom do you belong? Slaves of whom? You see, there is no neutral in this world. There is no living without a master. The great theologian Bob Dylan. Just checking to see if you're listening. The great theologian Bob Dylan said it this way, you gotta serve somebody. The question is not, are you or aren't you a slave? The question is, whose slave are you? And the gospel has answered that question. Verse 18, you have become slaves to righteousness. Now that's potentially confusing, isn't it? I mean, we're Americans. We're not used to this word slavery. Okay? We don't think of ourselves in those terms. Well, Paul knows that it's confusing. That's why he says in verse 19, I put this in human terms because you're weak in your natural selves. Yeah, the slave analogy breaks down at significant points. It's inadequate. Because slavery to obedience, to slavery to righteousness, slavery to, verse 22, God, is not confining. And it's not coercive like so much other slavery is. Slaves to God are not like unthinking zombies acting against their own will. But Paul feels the need to use the human analogy of slavery to explain our relationship to God because we're weak in our flesh. We need to be reminded that obedience is not optional. That grace makes demands on us. That we are owned. So we don't like to be owned. We're like, I don't like that language. But that's biblical language. We're Americans. We say, don't tread on me. Live free or die. Give me liberty or give me death. Well, that's one thing when it comes to our freedom from human slavery and human tyranny. But it's another thing when it comes to God. Because we have a new master now. We have become slaves of righteousness. Not that we unthinkingly or coercively obey righteousness now. It's not automatic. It's not like, oh, now I'm a slave to righteousness, so all I do is righteous things all the time. No. But what's on your identification paper? Mine says, Matt Mitchell belongs to righteousness. That's who my boss is now. That's what side I'm on. That's what team I'm on. I am a registered slave of righteousness because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? You with me? So then in verse 19, Paul says, live like it. Verse 19, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. Live out the truth of who you really are. My favorite sport is basketball. Okay? I love to play a pickup game of basketball. If you play a pickup game of basketball for very long, you know that eventually you switch teams, right? You know, I'm playing with these four guys and we're playing. And then somebody has to go and they're like, well, why don't you come over here to my team and you go over here to my team, right? Some of you with me playing basketball, right? Inevitably, whenever I do that, on the next play, I throw the ball to the wrong guy, right? Well, he was on my team yesterday, or he was on my team just a few minutes ago, and now he says he looks like he's open, and I just passed the ball right to him. Right? I know that there's guys in football that they pick up a fumble, and they get mixed up, and they start running to the wrong way. Right? There's like a wrong way Regal or something like that. That's kind of the famous. He went the whole way. Right? What team are you on? Act like it. Paul is saying, you have a new master now. Don't play for the old team. Does that make sense? Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, you're on that team, so now play for the new team. Offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. I want to focus on this verse because it's the application of the passage. The question is, should we sin? Shall we sin? The answer is no. In fact, not only should we not sin, but we should offer the parts, the members of our body in slavery to righteousness. The application of today's passage is to give our bodies over to right living. I think it's interesting that he emphasizes the body. Offer your body parts to righteousness. What's that look like? Well, what are your body parts? Your eyes. Offer your eyes to righteousness. What do you look at? What do you gaze upon? Your tongue. Offer your tongue to righteousness. What do you say? What comes out of your mouth? Your ears. Offer your ears to righteousness. See, righteousness is your master. You belong to righteousness now. What does righteousness want you to listen to? Your sexual organs. Offer your genitals to righteousness. Righteousness is your master. You belong to righteousness. What does righteousness require from your sexuality? Your feet. Offer your feet to righteousness. Where does your master require you to go? Your hands. Offer your hands to righteousness. What does your master require you to do with your hands? Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer the parts of your body in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Your brain. Offer your brain to righteousness. Righteousness is your new master. What does righteousness require from your brain? See, that's the question we should be asking. Not shall we sin, but what does righteousness want me to do because it's in the driver's seat now? You see how comprehensive this slavery is? It's not confining. You will find true freedom in living out the Lord's will for you. But grace brings obligation. Grace does not lead us into more sin, but into holiness. Sometimes we're like, well, I'm under grace, so I can just do whatever I feel like. No. I'm under grace, so now I do what righteousness says to do. So now offer the parts of your body in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. And you'll love the result. Look at verse 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Righteousness had no sway over you. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Shall we sin? Number three, no. We've been given eternal life. Now, Paul wants to make this clear so there's no misunderstanding. This slavery to righteousness, this slavery to God, is not a contract where we obey Him and then we earn eternal life as our paycheck. Okay? He says that is not the way it works. Sin pays a wage. If you want a wage, you can turn to the old slave master of sin. Sin pays, but it pays in death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because we've been given that eternal life by God's grace, we say no to sin here and now. You following me? Paul is asking the Roman Christians to weigh in the balance the two masters. Slaves of whom? What did you get when you were a slave of sin? Shame and freedom from righteousness and death. How's that working for you? What do you get when you're a slave to God? Verse 22, but now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves to God, the benefit you reap, the fruit, is it leads you to holiness and the result is eternal life. No contest. Eternal life, life that goes on and on and on forever in blessedness. Weigh those two masters in your hands. Which one do you think is better? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? That's crazy talk. We've been given eternal life. Why would we want to live like we used to? Now, some of you here may have not yet received this free gift from God. I urge you now to receive it. Jesus Christ paid for our sins when He died on the cross. He earned what we could not earn to give it as a free gift. He offers eternal life as a gift to all who repent of their sins and put their faith in Him and Him alone. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not something you earn, but something He has earned and offers freely to you. I invite you to receive Him and receive His gift right now. And when you do, you become a child of God. We'll talk more about that in a few weeks. What a glorious thing to be adopted into God's family. Not just a slave, but a son. But you are also, in this sense, God's slave. You belong to Him. And you belong to His righteousness. It gets stamped on your ownership papers. His name goes on the title of your life. On the deed of your life. If you had one of those deeds or a title like you have for a car, and it was your life, His name would be in the ownership blank. Righteousness would be in the ownership blank. And He's calling all of us to offer up the parts of our body, and the whole of our bodies, therefore, in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness for His own glory. Can I ask if there's an area of your life where you've been answering the question wrong? Shall we sin because we're under grace? Is there a body part that you have been offering in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, as if you're playing for the wrong team? You forgot what team you're on. Remember that you have been set free. You have a new master now, and you have been given eternal life. Live like it.